Hi, this is Ken McCarthy from Jazz on the Tube, and we're going to talk about Cuba and the legalities of traveling to Cuba in the Trump era. And before I begin, I want to tell you right now that I am not attorney. I am not an attorney. I am not posing as an attorney. I am not selling advice on this matter. I'm not giving advice on this matter, legal advice, that is. I'm not offering legal advice. All right. Everything I say, you should check with your own two eyes and your own brain. However, I am going to share my ability to read English and my knowledge of the world with you and give you some my perspective as a non-attorney on the new law. So with all those disclaimers, let's jump in. I think everybody knows that under Obama, things changed between the United States and Cuba for the better, and it became possible for the first time for individuals to legally travel to Cuba. Previous to that, you had to be part of a group, and that group had to get a license from the Treasury. And there's a couple of hundred groups that have those licenses. They're hard to get. They're hard to maintain. And the people that got them use them to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the way they would make money is they would take a pretty inexpensive trip and mark it up many, many times and sell it to you. And you'd be able to go to Cuba legally. And even though you were paying three, four, five, six times what you would pay if you went on your own, a lot of people just like the safety, the perceived safety of traveling under a group license with a group. And the truth is, before the Obama changes, that really was the only legal way you could do it. So it wasn't just perceived legal safety. It was safety. So what Obama did was say, look, we have these 12 categories. You can go for education. You can go for religious purposes. You can go for this. You can go for that. And we'll grant you a license, and we're going to do it on the honor system. If you say you're going there for religious purposes, we believe you. However, this is a big however, we want you to keep a diary and show us that you actually were there for religious purposes. So, you know, today I went to the cathedral, yesterday I went to the synagogue, whatever. You know, just have a narrative. It doesn't have to be a book, but just literally a diary, like a ship's log. Today, you know, like in Star Trek, you know, today we landed on planet Xerxa. So you would just say where you went and what you did. And technically, you're supposed to keep that diary for 5 years. In case somebody from the Treasury Department shows up at your door with a SWAT team and wants to know what you were doing in Cuba 3.5 years ago. You could just whip out, assuming they don't shoot you, you can just whip out your book and show, hey, I did this on Monday, I did this on Tuesday, it was all kosher. Also under the Obama regulations is you have to go there for one of these purposes that were stated, education, religion, attending a conference, being a journalist, whatever. You can't go to the beach as an American citizen. I know we live in the land of the free, but in this particular version of the land of the free, you cannot go to Cuba and lie on a beach for 7 days and drink daiquiris. That is illegal. You are a felon or something if you do that. You could only go for these defined purposes. So in comes President Trump, and you know, I'm not putting words in his mouth. He said it. He's going to destroy everything that Obama did during his administration. That's his goal. He says it. I take him at his word because he's sure doing it. And one of the things he targeted was the Cuba-America relations. So he put in a directive saying, hey, we're going to examine this. We're going to re-examine this. And he gave his people 30 days to get started. And it's coordination between the Treasury Department and the State Department. And so that's a lot of bureaucrats to feed. That's a lot of lunches. That's a lot of long, conferences. It's a lot of expense, at your expense, by the way. We paid for them to do all that. And this dragged on for months. And the new directives were finally released in November very late, by the way, but they came out. And it appeared that the Trump administration completely gutted and reversed everything that the Obama administration did relating to Cuba. The 12 categories, no go anymore, right? You used to be able to say, hey, I'm an individual, and I'm really going for religious purposes, or I'm really going as a journalist, and that was good enough. Well, those categories are wiped out. You have to go with a group, which means you have to pay the group, quote, tax, which means if you go with one of those groups, you're paying between $300 and $500 plus per day for pretty basic accommodations and food. And my advice to you, you might as well go to Switzerland because you'll get better food and better accommodations if you're willing to spend $500 a day. Now, they left one door open, and this is the key. And you have to read the law yourself. You have to go to legal websites, and you have to talk to honest advisors. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody that runs trips to Cuba is dishonest. They're not. However, they really don't want you to know what I'm about to tell you. And I know they don't want you to know because when I read their promotional material, they kind of hedge and haw and hum and ha, and they write like lawyers trying to trick you. And if you read their promotional material, they convey the idea that the only way in the world an American could go to Cuba is with one of these Treasury Department licensed tour groups. That is true unless you go under the following category, and please write this down, underline it. If you're a millennial, tattoo it somewhere. You're going in support for the Cuban people. That category, support for the Cuban people. Let me say it again. Support for the Cuban people. Forget every other category you ever heard of. If you're going to study, you're going for support. To support the Cuban people, support for the Cuban people. I just want to make sure that you've got that. The law, the guys that wrote these new regulations, gutted all the other categories for independent travel. They left this one standing. And let me read it for you so that you can confirm with your own ears. A. General license, the travel-related transaction set forth in Section 515.560C and other transactions that are intended to provide support for the Cuban people are authorized, provided that, one, the activities are of, subsection 1, recognized human rights organizations. Okay? If you're one of those, you're good. Two, independent organizations designed to promote a rapid, peaceful transition or democracy. Subsection 3, individuals and non-governmental organizations that promote independent activity intended to strengthen civil society in Cuba. So let me read that again. The license is in play. You can still go. It's still authorized. And one of the qualifiers is you are an individual and you are going to Cuba to promote independent activity intended to strengthen civil society in Cuba. Now, if you're scratching your head going, what the heck does that mean? You can read English because it doesn't mean much. It's big enough to drive several Mack trucks through. But the word individual is crystal clear. If you are going in support for the Cuban people, and that is your stated aim, and it should be your aim, the U.S. government, according to the law here, as I read it, and I am not an attorney, I am just a guy that speaks English, it says individuals. individuals, or you are an individual. And when you they ask you why you're going to Cuba, tell them support for the Cuban people. When you come back from Cuba, if you're hassled, which you might be, this is not a risk-free world we live in, tell them you went for support for the Cuban people. Now, there's one other item on this law. The traveler's schedule of activities does not include free time or recreation in excess of that consistent with a full-time schedule. I mean, it's kind of written as if we're prisoners, right? But basically what it says is not only must you go in support for the Cuban people, you must be supporting the Cuban people full-time while you're there. And you can't have too much recreation or free time. I mean, I love this. Our Treasury Department tells us that we can't have too much recreation or free time. It's just, it's hilarious. But hey, the law is the law. In general, the law in general deserves respect. This is what the law says. Respect the law, follow the law. That's what I intend to do. So basically, what's full time? Well, you know, if you work for the government, that could be 2 hours a day. But let's say you get an hour for, you get a half hour for coffee in the morning, and then an hour for lunch, and then a half hour for bagels or whatever, cake or whatever they do. That's 2 hours. So practically, you got to spend 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, because hey, even the Treasury Department gives the slaves Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. So 5 days a week, 6 hours a day. You got to be doing things that are providing support for the Cuban people. And Saturday you rest, Sunday you rest, then Monday you get back to it. And they're serious about this. And I think if you want to go to the beach, go to Cancun. You know, why go to one of the great cultural treasures of the universe and lie on a beach for 7 days? That would be sheer lunacy. All right? You go to Cuba, be in Cuba. I don't have a problem with this law, but I just want to remind you now, I just wanted you to drill this down, because you're going to hear so many fuzzy things out there about what's permitted, what's not permitted. The tour guides, the tour operators are going to tell you, oh, no, you can't go unless you go with us. It's not safe. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have to pay us $300 to $500 plus a day to be in a country where I'm telling you, you can live very comfortably for less than $100 a day as a tourist. In fact, you'll live better for less than $100 a day than you will for $500 a day on one of these tours. That's my opinion, having been on a tour and having been there on my own. And I went on a pretty good tour. I'm not criticizing my tour. It was very well run, but it was expensive. Now, maybe you've got a ton of money, and that if you do, hallelujah, spend it. But even if you have a ton of money, I think it's more fun to nose around on your own and learn things, and if you want to sleep late one day, or you want to stay out late, or you don't want to get on the bus that morning, or you don't want to see the Cathedral of the Holy Virgin, and you just don't want to do your own thing, I think it's better. I think it's more interesting. So let's review this, because they do everything they can to confuse you about this. So I'm going to unconfuse you. Support for the Cuban people. This license is open to individuals. Your goal is to promote independent activity intended to strengthen civil society in Cuba. I'm going to explain what that means in a second. Hang on. Your activities need to be pretty much full-time, 5 days a week, 6 hours a day, supporting the Cuban people, not lying on the beach, not snorkeling. Well, maybe, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to go there. Let's just say not snorkeling, just supporting the Cuban people. All right, so what the heck does it mean to support the Cuban people? This is tricky. This is tricky indeed. Well, number one, there are a lot of small businesses now in Cuba, and that's a big change. That's a huge difference. And people that want to see change in Cuba should be celebrating, and they should be supporting this, not sticking to their old "the hell with Cuba" attitudes. They should really drop that and notice that there are some changes. And change takes time. Change is not necessarily overnight, but these changes are significant. Number one, you have a lot of families running guest houses now. These are privately owned. This is free enterprise. So by staying in a place owned by a family privately and paying them and not one of the big hotel chains, you are supporting civil society in Cuba. All right, let's talk about eating. You could go to a government-owned restaurant, or you can go to one of many, many privately owned restaurants. Again, these are family-owned, family businesses, small businesses, free enterprise. You pay them. They keep the money. They pay their taxes, just like we do here. But that's civil society, and you're strengthening civil society. So just simply by sleeping in a privately owned bed and eating food in a privately owned restaurant, you are supporting civil society. How else can you support civil society? You can talk with people who own their own businesses. There are, for instance, if you're interested in going out to the western half of Cuba, which is one of the most stunningly beautiful places you'll see anywhere on the planet, you'll come into contact with a lot of farmers, tobacco, beautiful tobacco farms out there. And many of those are privately owned. So you just simply by conversing with them, by buying their cigars, if you're a cigar smoker, by buying their produce, if you cook, just simply nosing around a market and seeing what people are selling, buying stuff from them. This is a big deal. What if you take classes? You can't go on an educational license without going through a tour group or a university and paying the $300 to $500 to $600 a day. But you can go as an individual and take classes. And if you're studying with a private group or a private individual, drumming or dancing or whatever it might be, that's support of Cuban society, civil society. You're putting money into the hands of people who are becoming economically independent of the government. You know, the big problem that people have with Cuba, and really they should have it with other countries too, including our own to a degree, is the fact that the government just owns so many people's lives. You work for the government and, you don't do what the government says and you're not eating, right? So when you have a society that has lots of small restaurant owners, guest house owners, shopkeepers, independent educators, this is good. This is good for Cuba, even by the standards of the Trump administration. Now, you got to keep, again, the law says you've got to keep your records. You have to be able to prove to some Treasury guy, you might need to prove to some Treasury guy someday that you actually did these things. So just bring a little notebook. Monday, ate breakfast at the, El Gato Cafe owned by a family. Put the address. It's kind of fun, to keep track of all that stuff. Keep your receipts if receipts are given so you can show that, in fact, you were where you said you were. And this will help you too when you come back from Cuba, because look, if you've traveled, you know what. And it's not all of them. A lot of them are very professional, and good guys. But there are a lot of people working for customs that are jackasses, and you may run into one, and they may be in a bad mood, and they may decide they want to rake you over the coals. So number one, have the law handy. And you can find it on the internet. I gave you the code earlier. Maybe I'll put a link below. Print it out. Underline the word individual. Tell them that you were there, support for the Cuban people, and the law permits individuals to go there and do that. That's number one. Number two, show them your diary. On Monday, I went here. On Tuesday, I went there. And the other thing is there is a list that the State Department has published, and you can find it. Maybe I'll put a link below, that lists the companies and businesses and organizations you are forbidden to do business with. And these are businesses that are owned by the Cuban military or the Cuban intelligence departments. And sometimes they include hotels. You know, it's a lot like China. You know, people are always talking about the free enterprise of China, and they sort of neglect to tell you that a huge portion of free enterprise in China is owned by the Chinese military. That somehow doesn't make it into the news. But that's the reality in China. It's the reality in Cuba. And hey, if you took out the Defense Department from the United States economy, we'd have a very different economy. But anyway, political commentary aside, there are a lot of businesses, mainly big hotels, big restaurants. It's mainly hotels that's the problem. I mean, you're not going to be dealing in arms in Cuba. If you're thinking about that, let me tell you, I recommend you don't do that strongly. But basically, it's for the practical purposes, it's a list of hotels to avoid. And you know what? I want you to avoid those hotels anyway. They're super expensive. Everybody working there is a state employee. Nothing wrong with that. Some of them are lovely, but in all fairness, would you want to stay in a hotel run by postal employees? And if a post office worker is listening to this, my apologies, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, I was in a hotel. I told this story before, but it bears repeating. Habana Libre, fantastic lobby. It was built in 1959, state of the art. 1959. It's like being in a space station, you know, big space station. But the rooms were a disaster. I had a steady leak in my bathroom the whole 3 days I was there, and every day I'd politely tell the front desk about it. They'd politely nod and smile, and nobody did a blessed thing. I mean, luckily they replaced the garbage can that filled with water every day that I was there. You know, that's an expensive hotel, right? And then I had friends on the same tour. They were on a different floor that was completely mold-ridden, and they all got sick. So that's, you know, I'm not saying all the big hotels are like that, but there are plenty of very expensive hotels down there that are beneath substandard. Now, in contrast, the privately run places are lovely. You know, imagine if you could rent out rooms for the equivalent of $1,000 a day. Wouldn't you be nice? And let's say tourists were coming from Australia or Austria or somewhere, wouldn't you like go out of your way to like make them happy? And wouldn't you be happy to see somebody bringing you $1,000 a day? That's kind of what it's like when you pay a Cuban $40 a night for a beautiful room and a beautiful house. That is a month's salary for a doctor. And I am not exaggerating. If you are an MD and you're working for the government and you're punching the clock, at the end of the month, you get $40. So when you arrive in a guest house run by a family bringing $40, you are a really popular guy, and they want to make you happy. And, you know, Cubans have – you know, they're just tremendous people. They're hardworking. They have great hospitality. You know, we're different. We have different cultures, so we're not going to completely – mesh perfectly. We're going to find things weird about them. They're going to find things weird about us. But in terms of where they're coming from heart-wise and integrity-wise, it's fantastic. So you don't want to stay in these big hotels anyway. You want to save the $100, $150, $200, $300 a night and stay in a beautiful little, you know, beautiful room. I stayed in a place. I loved it. It was a separate building. It was on sort of on the grounds of this house, and then I was upstairs, and I had a big old room, and I had a refrigerator, and I was paying $35 a night. I mean, you can't even stay in a Motel 6 and Tulsa, Oklahoma for $35 a night. So anyways, you can do this. is what I'm saying. You can do this. The law permits it. Okay, and again, let me wind this tape back. I am not a lawyer. I am not giving legal advice. I'm not selling it. I'm not offering it. I'm not giving it away. I'm just telling you that you can read the law yourself. It's there to be read. The law is very clear to my eyes. Maybe I'm wrong, but I see the word individuals there. I see that I have to be in support of the Cuban people. I see that I have to engage in a full-time program of that, which works out to 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. I see that I have to avoid dealing with a list of agencies and departments and organizations and entities in Cuba. I see that. I see that I have to keep a diary that documents my activities when I'm in Cuba, and I have to keep that in my records for 5 years. I see all that, and I'm going to comply with that because it's the law, you know. So what I am going to tell everybody, follow the law. And as I read it, and you got to read it yourself, but the law says individual American citizens can go to Cuba if they're going in support of the Cuban people, if they engage in a full-time program of support. We've described what some support activities would be. Simply talking with Cubans about what life is like in glorious United States, that right by itself is support of civil society in Cuba. I'm going to keep my diary. I'm not going to go to the beach. I'm not going to go snorkeling or any of these other things. I'm going to do everything that the law allows. If you're not getting this information, it's because it's basically being withheld from you. There's a lot of sloppy reporting out there, and there's a lot of license-owning tour groups, Treasury Department license-owning tour groups, that really would prefer. They're not going to lie to you. If you ask them, if you ask the right person, if you ask them the question, they're going to tell you the truth, but they are not going to put it anywhere in their promotional material that this means of visiting Cuba is available. And they are going to, sort of in a weaselly way, in the way they write everything they write, leave the impression without exactly saying it that the only safe way to go to Cuba is with a group. And by safe, I mean safe to follow regulations. So I've repeated myself a lot in this because even I had a lot of doubt sown in me by all the different things I read and all the different things I heard until finally I said, screw it, man. I'm going to read the law myself. I'm going to go to Cornell University's website, read their interpretation of the law. I'm going to read every single thing I can find. And you will find that about 1 out of 20 will actually tell you what I just told you. But I just saved you a lot of time and a lot of trouble. So I think pretty much I am going to put the links below that I've referred to. You can follow up. You can read the law. You can read the list of forbidden entities. And you can make up your own mind, because I am not a lawyer and I'm not giving legal advice. And maybe you know a lawyer that you can go to get advice about this. I don't know. I sure don't know one. But anyway, if you want to go to Cuba and you're able, do your homework. I'm going. I'm going with confidence. I'm going to be prepared to be hassled. I hope it doesn't happen. But having come home from many countries, I've been hassled so many times coming home from Mexico, coming home from Canada, coming home from Great Britain. Getting hassled coming home from Cuba will just make me feel that I'm at home. So I'm not that worried about it. But you can be prepared with a copy of the law, a copy of the forbidden businesses, and say, look, I went with this list, and every time I was about to do business, I checked the list and made sure they weren't on it. If they were on it, I stopped my transaction. If they were on it, I went forward. And then also describing your full-time activities. Cuba is a marvel. If you're a musical person, and I assume if you listen to Jazz on the Tube, you are, it is a wonder. We do sell a guide, the Cuba guide. I'll have a link to that below. It's not cheap. I make no apologies for that, because Cuba is one hell of a hard place to figure out if you only have a week or two. Once you figure it out, it's great. But it's not like traveling to any other place in the world. And I have been all over, including rural Central America and places like that. It is different. It's just different. I mean, it's a Latin American country. It's a Caribbean country. It's a communist country. It's a country that's under assault from the United States economically and diplomatically. It's got its own set of conditions economically. It is way better to be a Cuban than to be a Guatemalan or an El Salvadoran or a Honduran. But it is not a rich place. It's a place with a lot of challenges. If you've never been outside of the cocoon of the United States, Canada, Europe, Northern Europe in particular, it may be shocking to you. But I can tell you this, that it is infinitely better to be a rural person in Cuba than it is to be a rural person in Haiti or in Guatemala or in any of those places. And in fact, and now I'm going to be a little political here, before the revolution, the standard of living in Cuba was closer to Haiti and Bolivia, which are the two poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. That's the standard that the average person was living at. Now, obviously, if you were a doctor or a gangster or you know, a politician, you were living high on the hog. It was great. But if you were just an average working person, or God help you, a rural person, rural farm worker, you were living in sub poverty conditions. No medical care, no education, no opportunity of any kind. That is different now in Cuba. It's very, very different. Everybody gets educated. Everybody has access to medical care. If you have ambition and you use your mind and you want to contribute, there's all kinds of opportunities for the people that live there. And that's a huge improvement. Could other things be improved? Yeah, probably. Other things could be improved here too. I guess my point is, you're not going to see the kind of grinding poverty you see in places like Guatemala or El Salvador or Haiti or Newark, New Jersey, or a lot of cities in the United States. You're not going to see gross inequity. You're not going to have to watch your back worrying about being mugged or being caught in a drug war crossfire. They don't have those things down there. Drugs are illegal, and people that deal in them go away and are never seen from again. So you don't have the kind of, you know, and theoretically that's the way things are in the United States too, but there just seems to be all these places in the United States where the drug trade magically flourishes, and we've got gangs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the good thing about Cuba, there's only one gang. It's the Cuban government. And, that, you know, that has bad sides, but it has a good side in that there's no such thing as living in a bad, dangerous neighborhood in Cuba where you can't go out at night. And you know what? That's a big thing. Because there's a lot of places in the United States where you can't safely go out at night, or sometimes even during the day. So if you've never been out of the cocoon of North American society, infrastructure-wise, you're going to be in for a shock. Okay, social-wise, you're going to be in for a shock too. You're going to be amazed how polite and civil and friendly and relaxed and outgoing people can be. That may be shocking to you. I don't know. But anyway, I could never stop. But the point I want to make is this guide. It's $95. We have the expense of printing it. We have the expense of shipping it. Okay. Once we've paid for that, we take the rest of the money and we spend it on our Cuba projects. Our Cuba projects have included bringing textbooks, scores, audio files, videos, musical videos to Cuba. We work with a guy down there who's an instructor at INA and ISA, and he teaches young people jazz, and we make sure that he's got as many of the materials as he needs. There are no bookstores in Cuba to speak of. There are no music stores. You cannot order things from Amazon. You cannot easily download things from the internet because computer speeds are slow. So they are really cut off. And books, things that we take for granted, are like gold there. And if you're going to be a musician, you need textbooks. You need scores. You need books on arranging and on theory and on composing. You need fake books. You need all these things. They don't have them. So that's one of the things we do with the money that we make from this report, this guide. The other thing we've done is we brought Camilo all the way to New York City for a week. He had come up here before, but he was always in a supervising capacity. He had to babysit these kids who were in the INA Orchestra during the Jazz on Lincoln Center program, and he never even saw a club. He never even saw Central Park. So we brought him up for a week, and we made sure that he went to the Vanguard, and he went to the Blue Note, and he saw, you know, all these great venues. We brought him the Lincoln Center Library, where he just almost died when he saw all the scores there. He couldn't believe his eyes. So we spent money on that. Our other program, Project Amazing, because of all the outreach that we've done, we managed to get David Amram an invitation to perform at the Havana Jazz Festival in 2018. That was not easy to pull off, but we did it, and we took on a lot of the expense of doing that. David has not been to Cuba in 40 years. You know, he went with Dizzy Gillespie and Stan Getz and Earl Father Hines in 1977, and he's just, between all the political nonsense and just the rigors of being an independent artist, he just never had a chance to go back. So now at age 87, the Jazz on the Tube, with help from some of the revenue from selling this guide, we were able to bring him back to Cuba and make things easy for him down there. So yeah, this thing's expensive. No apologies for that. If you buy your information by the pound, you know, go buy the phone book. You know, go buy a phone book. You know, if you want really concise, very practical, proven information about how to get to and around and home from Cuba and do it well and spend less than $100 a day versus $300 to $500 a day, get the guide. I mean, you'll make your money back your first day, guaranteed. And after that, the book's paid for and your money's going to a good cause. So if you're thinking about going to Cuba, my God, why aren't you buying this thing? Just get it. Anyway, thank you for all your support. Thank you for listening to me ranting and raving this morning. It was kind of fun. But the bottom line is, read the law. Do your own research. Don't expect the tour companies that charge $300 to $500 to $600 a day to tell you what I just told you. And when you do your research, you may conclude, as non-lawyer me has concluded, that the law is clear. It says individuals, and it says support for Cuban people, for the Cuban people. And it says don't go to the beach, and it says don't do business with the military-industrial complex. So thanks for listening, and I hope you make it to Cuba. It'll change your life.